Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
I hear from so many widows and widowers who are bereft at the loss of a spouse. Now, when we marry, we know one of us is going to go first, and in fact, it's even in our marriage vows. But still, there's nothing that can prepare us for the moment when it actually happens. I understand that this is impossible for people to accept because I've been married almost 44 years, and if it ever happens, it's going to be too soon. So I get it. But what I want you to know is, wonderfully, for some few couples, the death of one is not an end of anything, but instead it's the entry to an amazing new life. And of course, we know once you get to where he is now or she is now, that it'll go on as if there never had been a separation. So it's all good news. But meanwhile, how do we get through this period when we feel that we're apart? We'll talk about that today. Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and our guest this week is my wonderful, beautiful friend, Dr. Jamie Turndorf. She's better known as Dr. Love. Jamie is a world-renowned relationship expert. She's pioneered an amazing technique to help us heal our relationships through the veil, and I've seen it happen, and it works. But most of all, she's half of what is an extraordinary, extraordinary love story. Welcome, Jamie. I'm thrilled to have you here.
Oh, I always love being with you, Roberta.
Probably we should just say we get together, Jamie and I, whenever we're in the same spot, and we make an effort to do that because we can talk for hours and we mostly laugh, and it's a wonderful thing. But This is a serious topic, Jamie. I want people to know who Jean was because I've come to know him just since his death, and he's an extraordinary human being. But he started out extraordinary. Tell that story.
Well, the story, to give everyone who's listening a little background, I have to sort of explain how we met and then how I discovered who he was and is. It started when I was a young girl, Roberta. I had a premonition of this man. I saw his face. I saw his body. And I just said to myself, I'm not going to date. I'm going to wait until this guy appears. Very medieval concept back in the
70s. Yes, it is. Well, it was sort of medieval in general back in the 70s, as I recall.
For me, it was. So I waited until he appeared, and he actually did appear on the first day of my freshman year at Vassar College. I had been shut out of all intro sociology, and I wanted to take sociology. So I asked the secretary of the department, Judy Cadwallader, what can I do? She said, go ask the department chair, Jean Pain, if he can find a seat for you in one of the closed sections. Well, Roberta, the minute I stepped into Jean's office, I had the first and only out-of-body experience of my life. I literally felt my soul shooting at high speed through a tunnel to the end of my life. And then when I shot back into my body, I received the message, remember every aspect of this meeting. He is going to be everything to you one day. And then I forgot all about it.
So someone driving right now is saying, well, did he look as you thought he was going to look?
He looked exactly as I had seen.
Okay, all right.
Exactly as I had seen. After I came back into my body, I went about my life as a Vassar College student. But I found out right after meeting him that for most of his life, Jean had been one of the most famous Jesuit priests in history. He had taught at the Vatican. He founded a movement called Liberation Theology designed to fight church oppression from within. And he actually launched to international fame when he publicly opposed the Pope and the Catholic Church as they were trying to block the legalization of divorce in Italy. He was actually a radical feminist Jesuit,
okay.
And he told me later that he didn't want to see women trapped in marriages where they were being abused. So he fought on the grounds of liberation theology, religious freedom, the church should butt out of the private sector. He won. He got the divorce bill passed and changed the course of Italian history.
Wow.
Soon after, he asked the Pope to give him the dispensation so that he would not be excommunicated, and he left the Jesuit order and the priesthood, and he was recruited by Vassar to serve as the chair of the Department of Sociology.
He's written how many books and how many languages?
Oh, my gosh. Roberta, the man spoke 10 languages. In addition to Greek and Latin, he taught his lectures at the Vatican. Vatican in Latin. But he taught himself all these other languages because, among other things, he was a statistician. He founded the Vatican's first and only social research center. So he actually developed a research method that became the standard for all sociological research, where he did face-to-face interviews and preliminary interviews to find out the colloquialisms and the phrases that people used so that he could construct questionnaires that would speak to them. And that's why he taught himself all the languages, so he could actually write the questionnaires in their language.
So this is an overachiever. We have to say
jokingly, I always said that, Jesuits couldn't have sex because they were monks, so you sublimate, study.
Yes, some other outlets.
Right. I have to say also that it is important in our story for everybody to know my background was completely different from Jean's. I was raised by two devoutly atheist Jewish parents, and the only religion my parents practiced was religiously hating each other's guts. Okay.
That's of a sort.
A completely different background. Okay, so I never went to Bible or a church or synagogue. I never read the Bible. Okay, now in the senior year at Vassar, I needed help with the statistical portion of my thesis, and I had heard, as I said, that Jean had been a famous statistician, having founded the Vatican's first and only research center. So I asked him if he would help me with my statistics, and even though he wasn't my advisor, he cheerfully gave me his time. And Roberta, within a couple of weeks, we just knew we were crazy for each other. We were twins, separated at birth. We were soulmates, and we were inseparable for 27 years. 27 years we wrote books together. We restored houses together. We just rejoiced in every moment we spent together. Now, in the last year of Jean's bodily existence, we both started having a premonition that he was going to die of an accident. We just didn't know when or where this accident was going to happen. So on the day that we went to Italy for our final summer vacation, lightning struck our rose arbor and destroyed it. And then I saw 40 huge big crows, and I thought, uh-oh, this is not good. I felt the omen.
Yeah.
We went anyway, and one day while we were sitting on the beach, his left hand was up over his head as if to block the rays of the sun. The next thing I know, a bee swoops down and stings his left hand at the exact location of Christ's stigmata. And then, Roberta, I watch my beloved suffocate to death in front of my eyes.
Oh, my.
You know, so I describe this in part one of Love Never Dies. I describe the agony of having him ripped from me. And I also describe how I went back to the hotel room, and I was hysterical, and I collapsed on the bed, and I was shaking and trembling and crying. And the next thing I knew, I felt that man's hand stroke the entire length of my spine. And I sat bolt upright. I looked over my shoulder because I knew what I felt. I didn't see anything, but I knew he was there. And he has been with me ever since this moment. And his amazingly astonishing manifestations to this day, often in front of witnesses, have proven to me we don't die. And therefore, our relationships are not meant to end in death. And so I created my groundbreaking new, what I call transdimensional grief therapy method, that completely diverges from the Western approach, which is grieve, let go, and move on and do it in six months, or else we're going to give you a psychiatric label and we're going to shove pills down your throat. So instead, my method shows you how to say hello, not goodbye, without the assistance of a medium, a channeler, or a psychic. And then there's just one more piece, because as a shrink, I know Western grief therapy offers us no way of making peace with those who have passed over, and I also know that millions of us have unfinished business. So my new dialoguing with the departed technique offers the first vehicle for not only reconnecting, but also helping us to work out our unfinished business.
And that's something that Jamie did on platform at a conference in September, and I was in the first row to cheer her on, and it worked beautifully. I was amazed
yes,
that you were able to just do that with someone you'd never met before?
Well, I've been doing it for over a year now on Hay House Radio. I don't know if I told you, but obviously the worldwide response to my method has been so overwhelming. People call from everywhere, and they tell me that my show is the most listened to hour on the Hay House Network, beating out Wayne Dyer and Van Prague, which I couldn't believe, because there's a great response to this. So people call. I use my visualization and my meditation for making contact, and then I help people right then and there on the radio dialogue with their loved ones in spirit and work it out. So it's not a one-off what you saw when I, you know, spoke at the conference. It happens all the time.
Just what you were doing, right?
Yeah.
Now people are wondering too. What was the difference in your ages, and how old was Jean when he died?
Well, that's a funny thing too, because the man was 37 and a half years older than I, and I used to tease him. I would say, Charles, you need to get a younger wife. I cannot keep up with you. And I couldn't, because, you know, he was in perfect health, total energy, low cholesterol, low blood pressure. He was eternally young, and I could not keep up with him. And I would say, look, if you want to cheat with me, get a younger wife. Cheat on me. It's all right.
Oh, my goodness. You're a very secure wife. It's very clear. So how old was he when he graduated?
He was 84, and I was 48. Notice the inversion of the numbers.
That's interesting.
I know. Yeah. Right. I was just thinking, he asked me to tell you right now, you know, you said you wanted to talk about all of his manifestations, right? Because, you know, in part one of Love Never Dies, I basically share our story and my gradual burgeoning discovery that he's right here. So did you want me to share a couple of those for the people listening who haven't yet read the book and are not familiar with our story?
Yes, but I first want to make a point that Love Never Dies is really a beautiful love story. And it's a love story that I think can benefit everybody who's widowed, whether you're male or female, because or who's lost a lover, lost someone really close to you, because there is no grief deeper and more painful actually to read than that little period when you thought you'd lost him, and then the joy of watching the reconnection. And now you're psychic, you're hearing him in your mind all the time. This is a process to get to this point, but it's a beautiful process. And so you're no longer two people anymore, but you're basically one person, and it's both of you. I love that.
I feel
as if I've got him as a friend, because whenever we go to lunch, he's making his comments too.
And you know, most recently when I was doing some empirical research to demonstrate in the lab, you know, that he was present, he was singing Don't Fence Me In. He likes to do his expressions of love in a free way, just as we like to do on the earth plane. And we were trying to see if he could mess with the screensaver on command, you know, and turn it on and turn it off. And then, remember I told you, he did it. I asked him to do it, and he literally turned it off. And then you wrote me, and you said, dear, I think he just messed with mine, too.
Yeah,
you know,
he
turned yours
really
off.
He's a joker, that's for sure.
Oh, totally, because we are the same. When we leave our bodies, we're just the same. We just shed the turtle shell of the body, but everything else is the same.
It's a very beautiful story. I've heard other stories of the couple will transition in the other, or sometimes it's a mother and child, or it's some very close relationship. They've maintained for decades an intense close relationship that in some ways they tell me is actually closer.
It is.
Isn't that is something people ought to know. So it's worth trying to do what Jamie has done if there's someone you extraordinarily miss.
It's closer.
Because
remember, Roberta, I tell, and I mean, this is sort of out of sequence of the book, because, you know, part one is our story, part two, I help you overcome all the false beliefs and the false religious teachings that block reconnection, and then in part three of Love Never Dies, I show you how to make your own reconnection and how to dialogue for whatever reason that you require dialoguing. And one of the things I tell it toward the end of the first part of my story with Jean was how he healed me, mind, body, and soul, and emotion. And I tell the story of how, you know, I was raised by abusive parents. They verbally and physically abused me. And I explain the fact that even though I spent 27 years with Jean, and he adored me and tried everything he could to help me heal, deep inside, I didn't love myself. My self-esteem was really damaged and broken because I continued to hear my parents putting me down. And when he left his body, I went to my professional group and I was crying and I said, I'm telling you guys, I need help with this because no matter how successful I am, their voices just tear me down. And all the professional, you know, analysts were saying, well, just tell them to shut the F up and have our voices shout them into silence. And I said, you know what? This doesn't work. This never worked for me, never worked for my patients. So I come home and I say to Jean, I get on my knees and I'm weeping and I said, I'm begging you to please help me heal because we obviously no, we're only here for one purpose, to perfect our ability to love ourselves and others. But I'm like, I'm the living poster child for how do you really love yourself fully when you were so torn down?
That's
so
right.
As I'm pleading with him to help me, he suddenly appears to me as the embodiment of love. He takes my face in his hands, and Roberta, he turns me toward him in the light, and he says, Jamie, listen, listen, listen to me. Let my love for you fully enter you. And Roberta, in that moment, I realized why I needed to wait until he was out of his body in order for me to be fully healed, because his love for me, his soul essence, could now enter me unimpeded because he's freed from the physical vessel of his body. So I had to wait until he was out of his body in order to experience this complete healing. And suddenly his love for me became my self-love. We were literally, and from that point on, have literally been one. So what I say to everybody is, when you allow your loved ones to reconnect with you, as I show you how to do in Love Never Dies, this is your fast track to self-love. You let them back in, and they now fill your heart to overflowing with love. They heal every corner of you, mind, body, and soul. Now your heart is this overflowing well of love that you can bring to the world. And that's ultimately the message of Love Never Dies.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And for people who've known me for a long time, you know that I'm very straight-laced. I'm skeptical. I test everything. Even to this day, I don't believe most of the stuff that people are saying. And the things I haven't investigated, I ignore. But I've watched this happen with my friend, and this is all legitimate. The things that I have seen Jean do in my presence are extraordinary. So this is a real relationship, and I do not for a moment doubt it. And now, I'm not saying you can have the same kind of relationship. Jean is a very, very advanced being, but you can have a loving relationship. I run AfterlifeForums.com, which is something I don't talk about much, but we'll get widows there, more and more actually lately, and to see some of the ways that those husbands have been able, and it's always more advanced beings. It's clear that they're right on the money when they get there. They don't need to be coached. But they're doing amazing things in people's kitchens all the time.
Well, you know, I want to say, I don't want everybody to think, Roberta, because Jean is so advanced, and we know he is, that somehow other people are not going to be able to experience the same reconnection and healing and joy.
But the signs that you get and the signs.
I know, they're more profound.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
But sweetie, I don't want people to expect that they're going to get a Jean when they...
Okay, but let me say this. Jean said to me right after he left his body, Jamie, let our love shine like a torch that lights the path for others. So his over-the-top manifestations are meant to let everybody know your loved ones are here with you too. They're just waiting for you to open the door of your heart and let them back in. So people don't have to think, oh, I'm an orphan because I'm not getting such extreme signs and communications. It does, you know, the thing is, how everyone communicates is different. And so many people
That's
will say
true.
To me, I'm jealous of you and I hate you and you're
well,
getting so much, you know, but
imagine.
But then we reconnect, you know, in one of my retreats or on radio, and what happens is they say, you know what? I was overlooking a lot of the signs that I was getting, too.
That's a big problem, yes, yes. It isn't only that people overlook, though, but it's also that people, as you point out, every person who has died is different.
That's right.
Some of Some of them are going to do spectacular things. In one recent case that I've heard of, I mean, the guy is still sexual even though he's dead.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
baby.
That's right. So, I mean, that you might get that. You might get a familiar kind of flower that someone hands you, or you might just see something on the way and it reminds you so much of your spouse. It can be very subtle.
Right, and
whatever they do is enough, though. I think it's important.
It's enough that you accept it's their way. Like, I had a guy, a psychologist, come to my first Love Never Dies retreat. I do them, you know, here at the house, and then people attend virtually. And he was all angry at his dad. You're not talking to me. You're not coming to me. I'm not getting anything. We did my meditation, right, and we started to reconnect. And, Robert, it became very clear to me. His dad was very, very present, but he was looking for a particular kind of communication. He wanted his father to talk. And it was clear his dad was coming through with physical gestures of affection and protection. And I said, this is why you're so upset, because you're trying to micromanage how he communicates. And he was never a talker when he was in his body, and he still isn't. Well, this changed everything for Dr. Joe. He wrote afterwards, and he said, I am in total peace now because I now feel my dad in the way my dad comes through to me.
Yes. It's a very personal thing.
Right.
And it is based in the love that you built while he was on Earth, or she was on Earth. And so allow that to continue and allow the lead to be taken by the person who has gone ahead, because they have much expanded minds there. They're much more powerful, and there's plenty of help there for them to be able to get to you the signs they want to give you.
Right.
And just in a moment, we're going to just take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and hear some of the things that John has done that will blow your mind. This is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books are The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, Liberating Jesus, and My Thomas. You can learn about all my books, find my blog, and contact me if you like through robertagrimes.com. Our guests, plural today, are Jamie Turndorf and her irrepressible husband, who was once a famous Jesuit priest and now he is a shining star, Jean Pain. I love this man. He's not here in a body, perhaps, but he is very much present in all our lives. I'm amazed to say anyone who knows Jamie knows Jean. So let's hear now some of the things that he was doing. I mean, I've witnessed some, but some I may not even know about. You said there were a couple that came to you early on that were major signs.
I'll give a couple, you know, and then we can go into some of the more recent things that are not in Love Never Dies, because obviously they happened since the book was published. Well, the first thing I'll share is when I came back from Italy and I spent our first night alone in the bed. I notice I said our first night alone. See?
Yes.
There it is. I spent my first night alone in the bed, and John was quoting something to me, a passage that I didn't recognize. I want to come back to that in a second because it's important. So the next morning I go down to the kitchen and I hear John saying to me, Jamie, open up the door. I want to show you something. So I open the door and I see sitting on the step a little chipmunk. And he's frozen in a trance. My toe is touching him. He doesn't scurry away.
How weird.
I know. And it was clear to me, even in my befuddlement, you know, my raw grief, I looked at him and I knew something was happening. When I begin to watch him mimic my husband's bodily departure, he's literally ripping at his little face with his little hand, mimicking the way Jean was ripping at the oxygen mask because the air wasn't getting in.
Yeah.
So, of course, tears are pouring down my face as I'm watching this. And after 20 minutes of watching him rip at his face, the animal visibly coughs up a wonk of mucus, and he's in peace. So I knew in this moment, wow, Sean is speaking to me and saying I'm okay. And he was using this little animal as an open vessel. That's the term that I have come to use to describe both humans who are open and animals who are naturally open, because spirit will communicate with us very often through these open vessels. So now, the next thing that happened around this time was I had to fax Jean's death certificate to Verizon to take his name off of the account. And I had sent many multi-page faxes throughout the day, no problem. But when I went to do his death certificate fax, the cover letter went without a hitch, but the death certificate would not fax. So now I try with the obit. The cover letter faxes, but the obit won't go. So I'm thinking, what are you trying to tell me, dude? So now I go to the lawyer the next day. I bring the papers. I don't say why. I just hand them to the secretary and say, could you fax this to Verizon? I'm waiting and waiting, Roberta, for 20 minutes. Finally, all the secretaries come out of the back, and they're all weeping. And they say to me, Jamie, we tried 20 times. The fax will not go through. The cover letter goes, but the death certificate and the obit will not fax.
Oh,
he's trying to tell you he's not gone. This is what they say.
Yeah.
And so I go home, and again I have to fax the death certificate somewhere else, and again he hangs it up. So I say to him, listen, I think you're doing this because I keep forgetting you are still here with me. If I promise to try to remember, will you let this fax go through in its entirety? Roberta, I feel this tidal wave of love pour into me, and I know that was his acknowledgement. Okay, I heard you. You're getting it. And then he let the fax go through. So around this time, I'm starting to realize, whoa, this is pretty wild. Strangers are walking up to me and saying to me, your husband says, tell our story. And then they walk on.
Oh my goodness.
Now, I'm just going to give one more. This is from Love Never Dies, and then we can go on to what's been happening lately.
Yes,
I know
which
you,
I can't you, wait to hear
I
about.
I know you want to hear about that.
So, this one
involves what I call earthly props, you know, because spirits being pure energy, they're able to influence earthly props like electronics, okay? So this one involves the phone. It was early in my bereavement, and my hobby then was crying. I did a lot of it. And I was lying on the floor in my closet, and I was weeping, and I'm thinking, I have to call my friend Ann. No, don't bother her. Oh, I have to. And after 20 minutes of this hemming and hawing mentally, in the distance, I hear the phone ring. So I drag myself up off the floor, and I go get the phone, and it's Ann. She says, Jamie, did you call? And I said, no, Ann, I was thinking I needed to speak with you, but I didn't call. I was crying on the floor. So she says to me, Jamie, my phone rang, and your name and number appeared on the caller ID.
Isn't that funny? Yes.
I said, oh, my gosh, wow, he did that. All right, so now a year later, I have a chest cough. I can't breathe, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, I'm going to suffocate to death the way Jean did. So I say to him, Jean, I need a sign that you're with me right now. Right now, please do that caller ID trick. Do it with my housekeeper, Donna. 2 seconds later, Roberta, the phone rings. It's Donna. She says, did you call?
Yes.
I said, no, but I tell her what happened. She said, Jamie, my phone rang and your name and number appeared on the caller ID. So we were so blown away. Now, around this time, I belonged to a writer's group, Gabe Davis, a devout Jewish atheist, was the head of the group, and I had been telling him about all of Jean's manifestations and all of his caller ID tricks. So Gabe sets up this challenge, and he says, you know, I'd like to see whether that trick can be repeated and whether your phone call log shows a record of having been manipulated to dial out even though you didn't use the phone. I forget the challenge. A month later, I'm driving behind Gabe and his wife, Robin, to meet them for dinner. Suddenly, I feel that tidal wave of love again. I know it's Jean. I look at the dashboard clock. It says it's 4:58. I get to the restaurant. Gabe rushes up to me. He says, Jamie, you won't believe what happened. I said, what happened? He said, at 4:58, my cell phone rang. I looked at the caller ID. Your name and number appeared. He said, I picked up the call, and a man's voice said, is Jamie there? Is Jamie there? He said the voice had an accent and prolonged.
Isn't that funny? Wow.
I know. Prolonged the word there. Well, Jean did prolong the word. It would sound like there, you know. He said it wasn't a real call. The voice just faded away. The call never clicked off. He said, go get your phone, see if it dialed me. Sure enough, Roberta, I dig into my purse. At 4:58, my cell phone had been manipulated to call Gabe. So the thing I want everybody to get, because I know you were saying, not everybody's going to get these intense manifestations. And the point Jean is making with all of these over-the-top manifestations is he wants you to know your loved ones are here. They are waiting for you to open the door of your heart and let them back in.
That is absolutely, that's beautiful. That's really beautiful, Jamie. I want people to know why it might be easier for them to do something like what Jean did with this, although probably not so fancily and on command. On command is hard. And so
they don't
I don't
like
want people
it.
To, yes.
They don't
very
like it.
Yes. But he will sometimes do things on command. Your loved ones may not, and that's okay.
Yes.
But because they are now energy beings, it's really easy for them to manipulate energy, which is why you'll get lights blinking, TVs on and off, channels changing, cell phones.
So
that's the kind of thing which you really need to be especially alert for, especially if you've recently lost a loved one, because this is really not hard for them to do. Some of the other stuff he's done is hard for them to do, unless they're very expert.
Yeah. Now, there is one other thing I want everybody to know, because most people think about after-death communication as we're sitting there sort of like orphans with a tin cup waiting for a sign to be dropped on us, right?
Yes.
Now, what I show you how to do in Part 3 of Love Never Dies, the CEO of Hay House said, Jamie, we've never seen anything like what you're doing here. And that's saying something, because that's the woo-woo publisher. They've sort of seen it all.
Yes,
so
what
I show you how to do in Love Never Dies is, okay, after I teach you how to be more receptive, because that's Part 3 of Love Never Dies, because the more receptive and open we are, the easier it is for spirit to come through. That's what Jean has shown me. Then I show you how to recognize the signs, but then this is the unique piece. I show you how to bring the signs to life and engage in a back and forth dialogue with the help of signs, with the help of earthly props, with the help of human and animal open vessels. So you can have a dialogue back and forth. Do you want me to give an example of what I'm talking about?
Of course. That would
okay.
be helpful.
Okay. So, and this one is a good example of the difference between static signs being dropped on us versus a dialogue with the help of signs and with the help of open vessels. So, and these two examples are not in Love Never Dies because they happened after the book was published. So, it was the anniversary week of Jean's bodily departure this past year, and I went to the chiropractor, and I said to the secretary, we were alone, this is the anniversary week, and he's dropping a lot of signs on me. With that, I suddenly smelled gardenias. I did not say a word, and the secretary says, Jamie, do you smell gardenias? So I said, oh, Teresa, that is fantastic. That is a sign. It's the scent of sanctity, and he's dropping the sign on both of us, static sign, okay?
Wonderful, yeah.
Okay, now I go home, and I have to see a patient. Her name is Regina, and I know she desperately needs to reconnect with her sister, doesn't have confidence in her ability to do so. I tell her the story about the scent of sanctity and the gardenia scent, and all of a sudden, I hear Jean speaking to me, and he says, but I wish I could give you roses. Now, as soon as I hear him saying that, Regina pops up off the couch, and she says, Jamie, do you smell roses? Now, that was an amazing manifestation in which he used my patient as a human open vessel to facilitate a back-and-forth dialogue between him and me. He was saying to me, you heard me right, Jamie. I want to give you roses, and I made her smell them. Okay?
Right.
Now,
wonderful?
Here's another example that shows the difference of how we can have a dialogue with the help of human open vessels and earthly props, in this case a computer. It was the anniversary week of the publication of Love Never Dies, and it was also Valentine's week. And I did the Coast to Coast show, and Hay House and the book sold out overnight. It was just an overnight bestseller. So the next day, I get a call from this dude I don't know, and he says, I have to talk to you. Your husband is burning up my brain with messages for you. So I get on the phone with him, and he says to me, stuff in French and Italian that I know it's Jean speaking through him as a human open vessel, because these are things that Jean used to say to me in French and Italian. And the guy says to me, but Jamie, I'm a hillbilly. I don't know no Italian, right? I said, dude, I believe you. Your accent sucks, right? So now he calls me the next day, Roberta, and he says, you better be sitting down for what just happened. I said, what happened? He said, I was sitting at my computer when I heard y'all say, send Jamie the photo of the peach-colored rose. Now, nobody in the world knows Jean gave me not only roses each week, but they were peach-colored. And the guy says that Jean opened up a photo on his computer of a peach-colored rose. And I know. So these are just giving you ideas of how your loved ones will communicate with you. And then last but not least, what I show you how to do in part three is I show you how to have a direct dialogue. We use my visualization and my meditation technique so that you can then talk back and forth directly, writing it down, recording the conversation. And you can do this to say goodbye to the physical body if someone was ripped from you due to sudden accidental death or illness. You can talk back and forth to obtain guidance because they're here to be your spirit guides and hold your hand as you travel down the bumpy road called life and help you fulfill your destiny. And ultimately, you can dialogue to heal your unfinished business. And I show you in part three of Love Never Dies how to do this, how to talk back and forth and arrive at healing. And I want everybody to know, and this is so important for everyone to know, that often we have to wait until somebody leaves his or her body in order to work it out. You know, one of my patients said, I wish my mother would hurry up and die so we could work this out. Because they're more evolved in spirit form. They see better how they messed up. And their own spiritual growth and their own spiritual development requires them to face what they have done and work it out with us. So, I mean, I have so much to say, but I know I promised we would tell some new stories, so let's do it. Let me tell you some new ones.
We aren't quite at the end of our time, but I really don't want us to run out of time.
I know. I want to share some of these with you.
Go ahead.
So you wanted me to talk about the amazing light show manifestation. This one only happened a few weeks ago. It was January 30th, and I had just done my Love Never Dies retreat at my house. And everybody was with me in person and also tuning in from all over the world over the internet. And afterwards, I decided I'm going to go to dinner by myself. Well, not exactly by myself, as you'll see. So I drive to dinner, and after dinner, I come out of the restaurant, and I'm walking down this little side street where I park, and I hear Jean saying, Jamie, I'm with you. And I suddenly look up at this commercial building that has three spotlights under the eaves, and the lights go off. They were on, and they go off. So I see this, and I say, well, Jean, if this is you, put them back on immediately. And they go back on. And I said, well, Jean, if this is you, put them off immediately. Off they go. So I grabbed my phone and I recorded this whole thing. And it was such, you could feel, palpably feel our connection, you know, and him just using these earthly props, the lights, to play with me. You know, and we're goofing around and talking and laughing, and you can feel my joy in the whole experience and Jean's playfulness with me. So I showed you these videos, and you said to me, oh, I wish the whole world could see this, dear. That's my imitation of you.
Oh, dear. Is that how I really sound?
That breathy, adorable voice. Oh, I wish the whole world could see this, dear. But actually, you said that to me via email. And then I thought, wait a minute, she's right. So we're putting it together, and we're going to put it up on YouTube. So hopefully it'll be up on my Ask Dr. Love YouTube channel by the time this interview airs. If not, just keep checking back, because we're going to be putting it up. And then, Roberta, so much has happened since, because Jean has really been heating things up and wanting me to be able to capture the manifestations on film. And so this one is going to blow your mind. I don't even think I told you about this one. So, and I realized this one was a precursor to the light manifestation at that commercial building. It was a few weeks ago when my housekeeper, Donna, slept over. And she said that she came down the front hall where I have track lights, okay? And on the track lights, you know, track lights run on one circuit, so you can't work one light separate from another, right? So she said that the light winked on and off at her, but the switch was off. And it kept winking on and off. So later that morning when I was in the kitchen talking to her, her back was to her coffee maker. Now, I don't drink coffee, so I don't know. But suddenly as she's describing the light winking on and off, I see the red indicator light on her coffee maker is winking on and off. So I said, Donna, is that what a coffee maker does to tell you the coffee's ready? And she said, no, Jamie, when it's ready, it just goes solid red. And I said, well, turn around and look at this. And it's winking on and off. So now, a couple of days later, I have Reverend Bernard Beckwith on the Ask Dr. Love radio show, not the Love Never Dies show. That's the one I do on Hay House Radio. So he's on my show, and Jean had said to me, look, I want you to speak at his church. And I was thinking, okay, I'll ask him since y'all is saying he wants me to. And then right on air, Beckwith says, listen, I want you to come and speak at our church. So we get off air, and I'm standing under another set of track lights when they start to wink. And they start to wink right when I'm saying to him, listen, Jean was really glad that you invited me because he wanted this, and then they start winking. So aww. Beckwith gets covered in chills. So I realized that Jean was doing the independent operation of one light on a series of track lights so that I would understand, you know, this is obviously beyond our electrical wiring, you know.
Yeah.
So now, last weekend, I was, it was Wednesday. This one started on Wednesday. I came back from a group that I run, and I walk in, and I see another set of track lights winking on and off, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, we're having a power failure. But then I look, the lights are fine in the room that's right next to it. So I get on the phone with my landline, and I'm telling Donna what's happening. And I said, Donna, as I'm speaking to you, I'm filming what's going on with these lights winking on and off, right? So all of a sudden, as I'm saying this to her, I hear, zzz. I'm thinking, how rude. She's vacuuming while I'm telling her this. So I said, Donna, what are you doing? She said, Jamie, y'all just turned my blender on. It's grinding all by itself. So I'm going to put this on YouTube, too, because you can actually hear it in the video. And just to nod to the scientists, after he stopped doing the winking, I filmed the lights again to show that they're working fine. You know, it's not that there's something wrong with them. And then I actually went into the hall where I have another set of track lights, and I said, listen, hear the switch going click on, click off. So you can hear if I were turning the lights on and off, you would hear the click. And then I came back to the winking lights, and I said, look, they're winking. You don't hear any click. Now, I got another one for you. This one is going to blow your mind. Nobody's heard about this. It happened last week, Roberta.
Uh-huh.
So I'm training coaches, right, in my new transdimensional grief therapy method. And we do it over WebEx every Tuesday night. So last Tuesday night, while we're in the meditation, everybody comes out of the meditation, and we look at Paula. You know, everybody has a thumbnail image, right, on the video conferencing. And suddenly, we could see Jean's energy passing in front of Paula's face in the thumbnail. So the light in her room is the same, but her face is now just as if it's eclipsed, like the moon is eclipsed by the sun. And her face is completely black, but the light is the same in the room. So Paula drew our attention to this and said, look what's happening to my face. And now we start to see the light around her head growing brighter and brighter, like a supernova, just exploding, but her face is black. We filmed the whole thing, Roberta.
Well, he's very good with lights in the
electricity. He likes that.
I think we can definitely, yes, he enjoys doing that.
He has fun.
But he can do other things, too. Tell the story of the Eiffel Tower, because this is...
Oh, that one is so amazing. And that one, everybody can see that one on my website. When you go to AskDrLove.com, you will see a menu on the top, Work with Dr. Turndorf. And when you take that drop down, you'll see Love Never Dies Retreat. Now, on that retreat page is a video. It's a video of my first retreat, when Jean did this Eiffel Tower amazing miracle. So I have to give you a little backstory so you understand why it's so amazing. Right after Jean left his body, I was being told by people, you're glowing. And so I said to him one day, Jean, why is everybody telling me I'm glowing? I'm bawling my eyes out. And he said, because brides glow, Jamie, and we're newlyweds in the new spiritual phase of our relationship. Okay, that night.
Oh, my goodness, I just love this man.
I know, he's so romantic.
Him.
And he's exactly as he was in a body, so romantic. So that night, I'm sitting in the living room, and I get an email from a disabled guy. He's a stranger. I don't know him at all. He wrote to me about 3 weeks prior, right after Jean left his body, and he had asked me about a mattress that I had endorsed. And he asked me at the time, is this legit endorsement? And I had said, yes, it is, but I can't talk to you. My husband just left his body. So here we are 6 weeks later on the eve of the day that Jean said we're newlyweds in the new spiritual phase of our relationship. And this guy writes to me, and he says, I thought you'd like to see a photograph of my beloved bird named Jamie. And I opened the attachment, and yes, it's a bird named Jamie. Now, this was already weird enough because Jean and I had a bird named Fluffy, but how could this guy have known that I loved birds? We kept birds. So underneath the attachment of the bird named Jamie is another photo. Roberta, I open up this photo, and my jaw drops. It's a photo of the Eiffel Tower in Paris. Well, where did Jean and I go on our honeymoon? Paris. And the Eiffel Tower, of course, is the symbol of Paris. So I immediately write this guy back, and I say, why did you send me this additional photo? Never heard from him again. So I just figured he was some kind of angel. Jean somehow piggybacked on his account. Or maybe he didn't even exist, because I never heard from him again. Now, cut to 10 years later, Roberta, and it's the eve of my first Love Never Dies retreat. And I'm saying to Jean the night before, you know, Jean, I would really like to show that Eiffel Tower photo. I don't know where it is. I've searched my computer everywhere. I cannot find it. If you could find it, I would really love to share it. And I put the thought out of my mind. And then on the morning of the event, I was bothered by the fact that my desktop was a wreck. It had like 1,000 file folders, and I didn't want them visible because I was going to screen share with my remote participants, and I didn't want them to see the mess, but I didn't know how to get rid of that either. So on the morning of the event, the Love Never Dies retreat, I have tech problems, and I have to do a forced restart of my computer. And when I restart it, my desktop is perfectly clean. The file folders are gone. And I, of course, panic. Oh, no, my computer's died. I've lost all my data.
Oh, yes.
And then he did this for me. He cleaned it up.
Oh,
so now, Roberta, I will never forget, an hour and 48 minutes into the retreat, I suddenly feel, and you can see this on my website at AskDrLove.com. The whole thing is filmed. I put it there for you. So at an hour and 48 minutes in, I go, ow, because I was bitten on my right ankle by a horse fly. And I say, oh, that was Jean giving me a love bite. And I laugh, and I look up, and the next thing I know, I see my computer desktop. Now, my computer is maybe 12 feet from where I am. It's recording me, and I'm standing on the opposite end of my porch. We're doing the retreat on the porch. And I say, look at my computer. Suddenly, everybody looks, and we see the cursor moving all by itself. Jean's taken over the computer. And then I see him click screen share so that all the remote viewers see the cursor moving because they're now seeing my computer desktop. And with that, Jean posts that photo of the Eiffel Tower. He just posts it. And you can see me. I go crazy. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God.
Yeah, of course. And then he brought the Eiffel Tower up as well during the conference in September.
Oh, that's right. Thank you for reminding me. You know, so there I was telling Gary Schwartz about the Eiffel Tower manifestation because, you know, Jean goes in phases. He always loves to surprise me with, you know, a new demonstration of his love. So I'm telling him the story of the Eiffel Tower, and Gary Schwartz, the famous afterlife researcher, his jaw drops, and he just pushes his cell phone over to me, and he says, look at this. He received an Eiffel Tower photo earlier that day. He didn't know how it came to his computer, his little phone.
He would appreciate that as more than anybody else would appreciate that. That's our Gary.
Oh, he loved it. So, it's not a job, it's an adventure.
Yes. But what I want people to understand is that this is a widow who has made this successful reconnection with her husband, and obviously a husband you adored more than anybody ever adored anybody. At least as much as anyone has ever adored a husband. And now you're happy. I know you. I mean, when we have, and what we do is brunches because we each have to drive a distance usually to get together, and we spend a couple to 3 hours just laughing. It's happy. I've never known you not happy, and I think that's a testimony to what can happen if people will really make the effort to reconnect from both sides. The effort, it has to be an effort on both sides, but it is so worth it. It just, look at the joy you have every day.
Yes, and that's what, you know, our ministry is all about, helping people to realize that death is an illusion, that we don't die, and our relationships aren't meant to end in death. And remember I said that John was quoting something to me on my first night back from Italy, and I wanted to mention what that was? I want people to realize that when I went to see Jean's priest to prepare the readings for his funeral, and I'm meeting him for the first time because I didn't go to church, I told the priest that Jean was quoting something, and he looked at me like, yo, this babe has lost her marbles. But then when I proceeded to tell him what Jean said, the priest blanched, he crossed himself, and he said, dear God, Jamie, at first I didn't believe that Jean was speaking to you, but I do now. He said, you are quoting an obscure biblical passage from the Communion of Saints. Like I would know, I never read the Bible. Hello. So it took me a year to understand why Jean chose to quote that and only that passage, because remember, he was a religious pioneer in life, and he continues to be in the afterlife. And what I found out is that the Communion of Saints says that our loved ones in spirit are one with or in communion with God and the saints. And since the Bible tells us we're supposed to stay in communion and communication with God and the saints, it means the Bible is also telling us we're supposed to stay in communion and communication with our loved ones in spirit because they are one with God and the saints. So Jean's message to everyone is, what we've been told about the afterlife is dead wrong, if you'll pardon my pun.
That's a perfect pun.
Right?
Exactly
right.
He said, utterly wrong.
Right? Heaven is a state, not a place. He said, death is an illusion. There's a very thin veil between the realm where you are and the realm where I am. The veil is thinner than you can ever imagine. I'm standing right here. And now, as we know, what the quantum physicists refer to as the dark matter, you know, 95% of our universe is
right.
The dark matter. Well, when he says I'm right here, he means it. I'm literally right here in the dark matter. And so he wants everybody to know we're not supposed to live in an emotional wasteland separated from those we love, waiting until we quote-unquote die and enter heaven to be reconnected with them, because heaven is all around us and heaven is here now. We're supposed to reconnect and stay connected now. So that's what Love Never Dies shows you how to do. And I demystify the process for you, because really all we're talking about is energy. As Einstein said, right, when we leave our bodies, energy does not get destroyed. So we are just learning how to send and receive energetic signals with those in spirit. And it's to demystify the thing. We're all energetically communicating on a daily basis. We do it. So I just show you how to tune to the spirit channel of your brain and just get better and better at sending and receiving energetic communications. And it's so important. I see people doing this in my retreats and on the Hay House radio show, and they're weeping, and they are miserable, and they're marinating in grief, or they have unfinished business, and I show them how to reconnect and dialogue, and I watch decades of pain sometimes just completely dematerialize, and their grief turns to joy. And so I want the whole world to have this experience.
That's what we all want. I'm so sorry, we're already over time. Jamie, tell people how they can reach you.
Oh, sure. The best way is AskDrLove.com. And, I have a gift, too, if you'd like me to give this to your audience. The
yes.
Gift, it's twofold. First, sign up for my free newsletter, and you will receive the preface and the intro of Love Never Dies to get you going while you're waiting for the book. Then after you purchase the paperback, just send proof of purchase to my webmaster. That's on the upper right corner of my website at AskDrLove, and he will send you a private, exclusive showing of a talk that I gave where Jean made his first manifestation on film.
Oh, okay. That's quite a deal. Thank you for that. Well, I've enjoyed so much talking with my friend. We'll be seeing each other again in a couple of weeks. But meanwhile, I've got to say, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. You are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you really get that, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Now, next week, we're going to have a guest who has been with me before, but I think not on Web Talk Radio. His name is Garnet Schulhauser. I identify with him. He's a mild-mannered attorney, like me, who has had his primary spirit guide break into his life, which again happened to me, and he is fascinating himself. He's funny, and his books are amazing. His first book, Dancing on a Stamp, was one that I read. Now we have a third one out called Dancing Forever in Spirit, and he's going to talk with us about it. I look forward so much to even just talking to him again. He's a wonderful person. But this week, our guest has been my wonderful friend, Dr. Jamie Turndorf, Dr. Love. I've come to know her so well, and I've got to say, from my secure perch of I think I've been married since God was a child. Very long time. I admire Jamie's courage in going on alone after Jean's death and actually triumphing and making, as you say, Jamie, making this the best part of your relationship with him. It's, you're even closer than when he was with you. I love to watch Jamie glow and shine ever brighter. And we'll be talking again on another episode because there's so much more she has to share. But meanwhile, think about this. So many people are being widowed. Baby boomers are, you know, starting to enter their 70s, and this is when these things start to happen. Jamie's book, Love Never Dies, is so important because she and Jean really are proof that love never does die, and those we love have gone on before us to become even closer when they're only in spirit and they aren't stuck with that body and they're free. They're able to be closer to us than they ever were. So Jamie's story is an inspiration. I mean, I try to talk about the kinds of spirit communication, but what I'm coming to understand is that each couple has its own special signatures. I hear from widows and widowers things that I've never heard before that spirit will do in their lives. Love really never does die, friends, and it's the only thing that never dies. But for now, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in your one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.